Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. We are in Los Angeles, and I am joined by Kevin Arnovitz. We are in the Los Angeles Production Center across the street from the Staples Center, which is interesting. Kevin Arnovitz, how are you?
Brian, I'm well. How are you?
And joining us, our special guest who was with us during the entire finals, and we're so happy to have him out here in L.A. doing some TV, is the one, the only, Kendrick Perkins. Perk, how are you?
Brian, I'm doing good, man. Every time I see you and Kevin, I'm doing great.
How you're lying. So it is, what time of the day is it? It is 1:30 Pacific time on Wednesday. So while we wish we could do this in real time, we haven't developed that technology just yet. That would be called radio, which we don't like. We want to do it podcast form. By the time this posts, very well Kawhi could have made a decision. I don't suspect that'll happen. I think he's going to take some more time. But Perk, today we had some pretty interesting developments. We had our annual private plane landing. We've seen this over the years. Last year it was LeBron landing here in L.A. A few years ago it was Durant landing in Oakland. What else? What other private planes have we tracked?
Famous Gulfstream NBA moments. Was there was it a G5?
Well, what are you talking about?
No, it was never visualized. We never saw.
Remember when LeBron flew from?
He flew somewhere.
He flew from Vegas back to Miami with D Wade.
That's what it was.
And everybody thought that he was going to re-sign in Miami, and then he re-signed in Cleveland.
Right.
The next day.
I remember that. Right. That was classic.
So this is just another file in the Chasing Planes in July book. Perk, what is it? What do you think it means that he went back to do this meeting?
It don't surprise me. I think, you know, Kawhi is a guy who's, in my opinion, he's a stand-up guy. He's a man of his word. He told Toronto that they would get the last meeting, and they're getting the last meeting. And he took a private out there to Toronto. Does that mean they have the upper hand? Who knows? Or does that mean he's just keeping his word to give them a meeting? And
why not give him a meeting here in L.A.? Because that's where he was. He was here. I'm fairly certain he was here for the Lakers and Clippers.
Because I think it's a disadvantage. I think it's not fair to Toronto to have a meeting here in L.A. I think it's fair for them to have a meeting in Toronto where he could actually go in and feel the love again. So that gives Toronto the upper hand. You know, he goes back to Canada and now he flies into Canada and he's like, wow, this is what I got to consider leaving. This atmosphere, this love. So I think it was a smart move on Toronto part.
Brian, I would give a substantial amount of money to be a fly on the wall from Masai Ujiri's closing argument.
Ooh.
Because here's the question I have. All right. So we know from trials and movies and that generally a closing argument is you state your case, but you also knock down the opponent or the opposition's
absolutely
case. You have to,
right.
So if you're a Masai Ujiri, do you go negative in the parlance of politics? Do you say, you know, Kawhi, you're all about how you want everyone on the same page? Well, Kawhi, you know, for Los Angeles Lakers, there are no pages. The Lakers world, they haven't even invented papyrus yet. This is an organization where the owner finds out the president of the team whom you met with is leaving after a bunch of congregated media in hallways.
I don't see that.
So I'm saying, but, right, okay, so you don't do that, right? It's classless. It conveys desperation. But in a courtroom, you would do that, right?
Yeah.
And is the understanding that Kawhi knows these things or is it's classless and desperate to go negative? I don't know the answer. I've never been in one of these meetings. That's why I'd like to be.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like, the Clippers had a year to prepare their pitch. The Raptors are trying to win the title.
Right.
You know, their pitch is kind of like, I mean, here's the question. You're asking a question about closing argument. Do you bring the trophy into the room?
That's interesting.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yes, you bring the trophy in the room. But I think the pitch started before the meeting even started in Toronto. See, Masai Ujiri is smart because he flies Kawhi Leonard in, and nobody should have. I mean, it's obvious that he let the Toronto media and everybody know that Kawhi was flying in because
no, they didn't know. Here's how they found out. Okay, they found out because the plane got tracked. The plane is owned by the Raptors and the
Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. Yeah,
the media found it through the plane.
Okay,
and then just sent a
helicopter. So B, but you don't think somebody leaked that?
I really don't.
Okay, but okay.
I think there's such an absence of information that people were scouring, trying to find any possible hint, and I think they found that. I do not think they told them.
Well, I think, but I still think smart move by Masai, even just what Kawhi landed. No matter how they found out, he knew he was going to feel that same love again. So that was the first pitch, like, you willing to leave this? For LA, for the Clippers, for the Lakers. That's the first pitch. The love for the fans. Because I'm pretty sure they was out there. Pretty sure they was deep.
But I guess my question is, and Perk, you're someone who believes that the Lakers have
Let me just say real quick. In Cleveland,
yes,
in 2010,
uh-huh.
Dan Gilbert, there was this supposed grassroots movement, and they put up billboards and wherever LeBron was going to be, they had like signs on the grass and they, had this movement. It turned out that it was Dan Gilbert who had funded it all. So I don't necessarily think that you're wrong in the concept of a team doing that. But in this case, I think that if Kawhi found out they would do that, it would really turn him off. I think this just got leaked.
Right.
I think people in Toronto right now, they're just the hottest thing and anybody's looking, it's a huge city and people are savvy and, you know, this was apparently the meeting was at a hotel, and I think Raptors made a mistake of maybe booking it under their name, you know, and the people at the hotel knew that the Raptors were coming in, and people, it got out on the internet.
Really, the Yorkville conspiracy.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how things have changed, because a couple of days ago it was almost clear cut that he would be in purple and gold, and then all of a sudden things change again, because I know. Once he got locked in the room with Doc Rivers, I know Doc.
Right.
I know Doc. I know he dropped some.
You got a ring on your finger because of Doc.
Yes.
Rivers. Well,
so
not because of him, but he was a big part of it.
So I know Doc went there and shot his best shot. But, you know, I love the way Kawhi is handling it. I love the way his camp is handling it. They're not leaking it. And he's handling it the right way. And I love that he's a man of his word. He told Toronto they would get the last meeting, but I think, man, this is crazy that the last meeting is in Toronto. I mean, that's a genius move by Masai.
So think about this. Just think about the world Kawhi has lived in for the last few days. I know that there was rules about whether Magic could be at the meeting, so let's just assume they followed the rules and Magic was not at the meeting. But you had Magic Johnson, almost certainly Kobe Bryant. I mean, I want to be clear. I don't know. I got to assume that Kobe Bryant.
Almost certain LeBron James.
I think LeBron was involved. So you got Magic Johnson, Kobe, and LeBron, and Anthony Davis too, I assume. But, you know, that's the Lakers. The Lakers. Then the Clippers is Doc Rivers, Jerry West. Wow. I mean, Jerry West was essentially hired for the, I mean, obviously they use him every day, but essentially hired for a meeting to have this. Steve Ballmer, who is worth $40 billion. And I sat in this room yesterday with Patrick Beverly,
right,
who was on our shows yesterday. Very happy, Perk. He just agreed to a $40 million contract. He was very
well
happy.
Well deserved.
He was telling me, real quick aside, he was telling me the story of when he had knee surgery. He had microfracture. This was 2 years ago. So it was one of those things where he told the doctor, hey, you got do what you got to do to fix my knee. And he went in and he thought it was an arthroscopic surgery. He woke up from the surgery and the doctor told him, Bev, we got it fixed. You're gonna be stronger than ever, but you're going to be out a year. And he was so groggy that he sort of passed back out from the anesthesia, and when he woke up, his mom was there. He's like, Mom, I had this terrible dream that they told me I was going to be out a year. Like, Bev, it's true. So anyway, he was telling me about his meeting with the Clippers. You know, now granted, we're talking about a biased individual. He's just committed to them for $40 million. He was really high on the Clippers last year, but he was telling me about their meeting and about what they were pitching to him.
He also turned down some money, too, to stay with the Clippers.
turned down $10 million extra he could have gotten. And, like, it'd be one thing if he had had a $50 million contract in his past. I could see 10, but he is, I mean, don't get me wrong, Bev has made millions. But anyway, he was telling me about the pitch that they made to him and their plans, and Ballmer showing him the plans and the drawings for the new arena that he wants to build. And they're renovating their practice facility right now and all those things. And, like, he was like, it was damn impressive. And, you know, again, I'm not saying he looks at the world the same way Kawhi does, but that was the room that the Kawhi was in. Jerry West, Doc Rivers, Steve Ballmer. I'm sure they had other people there, but that's an impressive group there. And then now you get on the plane and go to Toronto to meet with the guys who you just won a championship with. That's a heck of a few days for just get talked about getting shown love.
Absolutely. But let me tell you, I think this plays a major part in it. Danny Green did leave, right?
He has not signed with anybody.
I think, and I said this before, from going to the finals, if I'm Kawhi, I stay in Canada. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, that fan base, I mean, he have a chance to be the man of the country. Forget just like, you know, a city or a state or whatever the case may be. And who's to say if he comes to L.A., he'll be the biggest star. You're still competing with LeBron James. You're still competing with Anthony Davis and all the other stars.
And by that, every Hollywood star who lives in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although we assume that that's not important to Kawhi, right? I mean, that's the one thing that makes him a different cat, right? Is that a motivating factor for this guy?
Right. So, but my thing is, I want to know is if he joined the Lakers, whose team is it? Is it Kawhi's team? Is Bron taking the back seat and saying, hey, Kawhi, you the first option, KD the number two option. I'm going to be the third option. I'm 35 years old. I don't have a problem with it. Kawhi was saying, this is your team, you and Anthony Davis. Is that that's going to be? I wonder if that was the pitch. Because if I'm the Lakers, I got to pitch it that way.
Well, Perk, you mean you play with LeBron. You know him. I remember that the summer that Kyrie left, I remember LeBron talking that season about, I can see myself handing the reins off to Kyrie someday.
Absolutely.
Kyrie didn't want it. But I will say that he's kind of wanted to do that. The problem is what LeBron says in July. I can just tell you by watching him and being around him for two decades. What LeBron says in July isn't always how LeBron feels in January. LeBron in July will be like, yeah, I got to reduce my minutes. I want to take the ball out of my hands. I'll play in the post. Right. Post on these other guys. Then get to January and be like, hey, LeBron, we're pulling you out here. I'm 7 of 8. I'm on my way to 40. You're not pulling me out. I'm going to do it.
Right.
Hey, LeBron, I mean, 2 years ago, he was almost rock-headed about playing 82 games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, he had talked earlier that year about, you know, moderating his energy and having a plan. So I would just say to anybody, I have no doubt that LeBron is saying what you're just saying. I just don't know if history of LeBron following through. Because
absolutely. Because he's
the alpha among alphas.
He is, by sure.
And that's Toronto's great pitch, right, Perk? Like, they don't have to make promises. We're not going to tell you what we're going to do. You know how it works.
Right.
Right. We don't have to tell you you'll get the ball, where you want the ball, how you want the ball. We're not going to tell you about our load. We're going to work with your people to pursue a low management program. We don't have to tell you that we'll surround you with this guy, that guy. I mean, scoreboard, it's the ultimate. I mean, like they have the ultimate trump card, which is why I think those of us who try to think rationally say, how on earth do you not take at least a 1-1 or a 2-1, right? If you want to revisit this decision, they are getting older. Hey, you know, once the confetti's no longer falling, do you want to be there? Fine. Revisit that issue in a year. There'll be nobody on the free agency market.
Right.
I mean, you'll have – revisit it in 2 years. I mean, Brian, you said that, you know, that puts him at the 10-year service mark where he can –
it's hard to see how important money is to him. He's turned down $80 million in San Antonio, and if he walks from Toronto, that's even more money. So I don't know what that means.
We're talking about the same guy that drove his Bronco for the first, what,
Was it a Bronco? Was it a Honda?
He probably felt like he was in a Bronco today being followed by helicopters.
Right, but I'm saying he drove the same car that he had in college for like – his first 3 to 4 years. So, like, that's impressive. But I am, like, I'm really, like, Toronto is doing everything they're supposed to do and more. Like,
so you're impressed with them?
Absolutely.
So one thing that is a little piece of information from the last week is I was told that I feel confident about this, that Kawhi and Kevin Durant spoke before KD went ahead and
they did.
Okay.
They did.
What do you know about that?
Well, they spoke. They spoke about joining teams, possibly joining together, and I think the Clippers was the number one priority.
Right.
But I think it was just, you know, a little back and forth.
Right.
You know,
I think KD kind of paused a little bit and was like, hey, let's consider this for a minute, and then he went through with his plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly how it went.
Okay. So that leads me to wonder whether or not Kawhi would like to have another star player with him in Los Angeles with the Clippers. He obviously he doesn't need another star with the Lakers. They can't afford one anyway.
Right.
It makes me wonder if, because we always think about the pitch that the teams give to the player. Well, the player, remember, can talk to the teams about what he wants, his plan. And also, I think, you know, you ask to Doc, hey, Doc, are you going to be this coach? You ask, you know, Magic Johnson or Rob Pelinka, are you going to be here? Or you ask, you know, LeBron, are you committed to staying here? You ask Masai Ujiri.
Which he did in the first meeting ever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He asked
Masai was recounting that this week.
Are you going to be there? Right. You know, I think it's a fair question. He just got offered a job by the Wizards. Are you going to stay there? What if the Knicks job comes open? You know, Masai has been rumored about that job for years.
Right.
But what if he is saying, hey, listen, what can you do to get me another star player?
Well, the good news is it's not going to happen this season, but they have flexibility.
Are we talking about the Clippers?
Yeah.
Oh, the Clippers right now.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
it wouldn't be the Lakers because they have the star.
Right.
What if the Clippers and the Raptors, what if in these meetings he's saying, can you get me another star player? What can they do?
Right. I mean, Andrew Hahn, am I correct? Our producer here, the Clippers, Gallinari comes off the books next season, right? So we've got.
Yeah, but the free agent class next season is not strong.
Right. Huh. I don't think he needs another star in Toronto. I think if Kawhi goes back to Toronto, they're back to the finals.
Siakam's really good.
I picked them. If Kawhi go back with the same team he had this year, they go back to the finals. They beat that Philly team that's put together and whatever else in front of them. They go right back to the finals with the same exact team.
Real quick, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. But the problem with growing businesses, Andrew's very happy, is that it keeps you from knowing your numbers. It's the hodgepodge of business systems. They have one system for accounting, one for sales, one for inventory, so on and so forth. It's a big inefficient mess, like some of our NBA teams. And they take too much time and too many resources. That hurts the bottom line. That's why Oracle introduced NetSuite, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, you save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, accounting, orders, and HR instantly and right from your desktop. Can you book private jets for meetings right on NetSuite? We'll have to be on the update. That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. So right now, NetSuite is offering all of our listeners a valuable free guide where you can get 7 key strategies to grow your profits. You get it at netsuite.com/hoop, H-O-O-P. NetSuite.com/hoop to download that free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits. NetSuite.com/hoop. So let's think about the Clippers. What if they had to make a trade right now? What if it was like, hey, you think Toronto Perk is good? You think they can run it back? What about if he joined the Clippers right now? Is that a good enough team to win the title?
Absolutely not. Because the Clippers are good. They're well coached. They're good. But we're talking about the West. We're talking about a hungry OKC team that's bouncing back. We're talking about the Utah Jazz that's right now if we started the season today, is probably the best team in the West, in my opinion. We're talking about Anthony Davis and LeBron James. We're talking about a Portland Trailblazing team who got better this year, by the way, with adding Ken Bazemore and Hassan Whiteside, in my opinion. We're talking about a Denver Nuggets team that's growing.
And the Warriors, by the way, not bad.
Yeah, the Warriors are not bad at all. I agree. You cannot count out the Rockets. Cannot count out the Spurs. So the West is deep. We could go to the East and we will say, okay, we got Milwaukee. But they lost a key piece, in my opinion, in Brogdon.
The Raptors feel they have a championship team now. They're bringing it all back, and the Warriors are not as strong, and the Celtics are not as strong, and the Sixers are, we'll see.
We'll see.
And those are the teams that they had to deal with.
But if you're the Clippers, who could you trade for right now to convince Kawhi to come?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I
James
wonder.
James Harden?
No, he's not available.
What are you?
Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal is interesting. Now let's just go over what the Clippers have. The Clippers have three extra first round picks.
Yes.
They have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They have Montrezl Harrell. They have Lou Williams. I wouldn't want to trade him.
Landry Shamet.
And here's the thing. You wouldn't look at this as trading those pieces for Bradley Beal. You'd look at it as trading those pieces for Bradley Beal, like Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
And so you could probably drive a hell of a bargain. Now, I don't know if Washington's ready to trade Bradley Beal at this point, but certainly you could put in a call.
But boy, now you have one of those Miami picks is unprotected, correct? Both are unprotected. Mm. I mean, no. What is your objective?
The second Miami pick is lottery protected.
It's lottery.
In like 2026. Right.
So the point is there's an unprotected Miami pick there, a lottery protected Miami pick. My question is, if you're the Washington Wizards, and now we're getting kind of deep in the weeds here, but what's your objective in the next couple of years?
Well, I don't want to talk about the Wizards right now, but let's say it wasn't, okay, if it wasn't Bradley Beal, who else would be available? I mean, this is one thing I'm wondering, like if the Clipper, like, here's the thing. He knows the Lakers what they have.
Right.
He knows the Raptors what they have. With the Clippers, which is home, and he has some interest, there's some, like, what they can be. That's why I was thinking he might have talked to KD about what they can be. Because he wasn't talking about KD coming to the Lakers or coming to the Raptors.
So I have something interesting, right? So Russ and Kawhi is cool, right? Russell Westbrook. What if the Thunder, that borderline, I mean, do you think they have any chance of blowing that up anytime soon? Like, how long do you stay with the Russell Westbrook thing? Russell Westbrook, the assets they have, maybe make a trade to the Clippers. Never know. Russ have to demand a trade, and Sam Presti have to grant it. But just think about that, though.
Russ has been hanging out with LeBron all summer.
I know that. I had dinner with him.
Yeah.
Both of them.
They haven't been boys that long. I didn't know.
No, they've been boys for like 3 or 4 years.
Is that
now.
Right?
Yep. I
didn't know that.
They've been good friends for like 3 or 4 years now.
And so. Now that LeBron's out here all the time, they're just hanging out more.
Yeah,
maybe.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. I mean, I think that the Thunder probably feel like this is a year they can go for it because the league has sort of come back to them a little bit. You know, Paul George is coming off two shoulders, three shoulder surgery on each shoulder.
Right.
I would have it, you know, they control Westbrook for 6 years, 5 years now, I think. I don't think Westbrook would have any standing to demand a trade.
So, look, let me ask y'all this. So right now, if y'all had to list it 1, 2, 3, I'm going to give y'all my top list right now for Kawhi's decision. Just from our conversation, I'm going Toronto number one. Lakers number two, Clippers number three.
I mean,
Toronto on a short deal, you think? Yeah. Like a 2-year deal?
Yeah, like what Bron did?
Yeah. Because all of Toronto's team is practically a free agent next year.
Okay.
So, Serge, Kyle, Fred VanVleet, Gasol.
So why not run it back?
Right. Maybe you can give Danny like a big 1-year deal, Danny Green a big 1-year deal. Just try to win it again.
But how your list will go right now? Because to I think the Clippers are at the bottom.
I think if the Clippers had a presentation for him where they could get another star player now.
But what star though?
I don't know.
It's not many out there.
We think that's our sense is that's important to him.
No, I don't know that for sure. I just
right because the ordering is always to be predicated on what do you think.
I heard and Perk heard about this conversation with KD, and that had to be the Clippers.
Right, there was obviously.
So my feel is that that's Clippers. I've kind of talked my way into that.
That their appeal was not actually location, and it wasn't infrastructure,
it is.
And it wasn't.
It is
all but, these persuasion
but if,
points.
But if you're saying to him, I mean, Perk, you're asking a good question about ranking. But if you're saying to him, look what we can become, Kawhi's like, we'll become it now.
right.
You know, because the Lakers are it now. The Raptors are it now.
It's now.
So I could see him saying to him, you know.
That's great. I'm not looking for a 7-year build here. I'm looking for immediate
contention. And again, I don't think the Clippers would be shocked by that. I think the Clippers, but what the Clippers would need is commit.
Now, what if he said, yeah, by the way, we won 48 games with who as our small forward at the end of the season?
Sindarius Thornton.
Right. Okay. We are as good as the Raptors were prior to your arrival.
Fair, but and, like Perk said.
And you actually are the guy who makes the difference, that you're Kawhi Leonard. You've proven that surrounded by a list of two-way, veteran, intelligent players, combined with some youthful energy, that's a championship team with Kawhi Leonard. You don't need a second star. I hear what you're saying.
But I mean, I think what Perk is saying is relevant.
I mean, I do too.
You know, we're talking about a premium player here,
right?
So you would, we're talking about a guy who's getting met by Magic Johnson and Jerry West and flying in on jets and all this stuff. Like, you have to make a premium offer. It's not just money necessarily. So,
and that's a good point. If I'm Kawhi, I got to ask those questions. To Masai Ujiri, are you staying?
Yeah. Well, let me say this.
Because
the Raptors could.
Because he has some offers that Washington offer that he has on the table, that's pretty
hard
to pass.
Well, if I was Masai, I would say, Kawhi, however many years you signed for, I will sign for the same. I would assume that Masai, for the aggregators out there, I don't know this to be true, but I would assume that Masai got a contract bump. When Washington tried to hire him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No brainer.
Just like Tim Connelly got a bump when Washington tried to hire him. I think
Washington Wizards, the great stalking horse of the NBA.
I think he got about a 50% bump.
Yeah, I've been enamored with this kind of short-term deal with Toronto for a while now. Like, it just seems like the path of least resistance, you get to kick the can down the road for a couple of years. You can revisit this decision next year. You can say to the Clippers, you know what? I've enjoyed the presentation. I think there's a lot to like here. And you know what? Let's stay in touch.
Right.
I mean, I think the ability to do that, the Lakers and Clippers aren't going anywhere. They're going to be situated in this market.
Right.
In the Clippers case with flexibility, in the Lakers case with talent for a long time. Why not go back 1 year and an option? To an option if you prefer more security, whatever the case. And I also recognize that I'm applying a very rational argument to an irrational business.
Perk, like if you're not 100% comfortable with the Lakers and you're not 100% comfortable with the Clippers, why not go with stuff where you know you're comfortable? You're comfortable. You know what Toronto has. And maybe you say the Clippers, I'll talk to you next year.
Listen, I'm telling you, in my opinion, right now, I think Toronto got the upper hand with this that happened today.
The Gulfstream effect.
Listen, with him flying in today, because Kawhi could have said, I'm not getting on the plane.
Right.
He could have said, no, we're meeting in L.A.
Yeah, Perk, I mean.
Like.
When you signed your big contract, you just extended with the Thunder. So you never went like on a free agent tour.
I never went on a free agent tour. Yeah. I got to the Thunder. I never played a single game with the Thunder.
That's right. They extended you right
and
away.
And they extended
me
right away.
By the way, how long did that contract negotiation take?
I argued with Bob Myers, who was my agent, for 30 minutes. Because he was telling me, hey, Perk, wait. Because I got an offer from – I could get you in Golden State for 5-year 55. And I was like, 5-year 55 or take – 4-year 40 right now. I'll take the 4 year 40 right now.
Okay.
And what year was that? I'm trying to remember which Golden State. So that would have been 2012, 13? No.
I got to Oklahoma City in 2000.
Trade deadline trade.
Yeah, 2011, I think it
and
was.
And then you extended immediately after the trade.
All right. So that was, oh, this is long. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a, first off, it was stunning that the trade happened. And second off, it was stunning that you had a, you signed
but,
right away.
But see, the crazy thing, not to get off the subject of Kawhi,
I'm
but.
I'm sorry. I don't mean
no,
to.
No, but nobody, I knew I was getting traded. Like, Danny and I used to meet in his office all the time. And I remember he pitched the deal to me. I was just coming off a 4 year, $16 million deal. And he was like, Perk, we love you. We don't have the money, but would you be willing to take another deal, but you'll make $6 million a year? And I was like, well, Danny, I'm 25. I'm looking at starting centers right now. The average salary is 10 plus, and he could respect it. So, I was hurt that the team was still having success with Jermaine O'Neal and Shaq still at the top of the East. So it surprised everybody else, but it didn't surprise me. And I was not mad at Danny because Danny could have sent me anywhere. He sent me to a place that knew they was going to pay me for what I was worth. So it wasn't a bad trade on Danny's part because I was leaving Boston anyway that summer. So it was actually a smart move by Danny.
Right. Yeah. But so you never got to go on the tour.
No, but I wasn't big enough like that.
No, I know, but I mean,
but I wish I was though. I think, you know what? Let me tell you something. Doc Rivers and I love him to death. He's like a father figure to me, but he hurt my chances of being a franchise player. And I tell him that all the time. He made me into a role player at the age of 24. Because I had to be.
It was a championship team.
I know.
Yeah. It was the right decision.
Right.
May not be that right for you, but it was the right decision for the team.
But it kept me in the league for 15 years.
That's
so
true.
Right.
But it turned out for the best.
But, I mean, you, in some ways, that championship pedigree was one of the reasons a team like OKC said, yeah, you haven't played a game for us. We have absolutely no questions about your pedigree, about right. your experience, about what you bring.
2003 draft class, right? Yeah, here, 2003.
That's, you were 03?
Yeah, I was.
I remember. I don't want to go too far off here, but you know, I was covering the Cavs, and I went to the Boston Summer League your rookie year.
Yeah, first game we played
because LeBron was playing,
right?
And you had a big game. You threw down some dunks.
Yeah,
and the crowd was going, you know, because it was in Boston. Right. It was at UMass.
It was at UMass,
and it was so hot in there, but it was. I mean, they loved you. So if let's just say, though, that you were a free agent right now.
Right.
Would you sit here in L.A.? Well, I don't know. Maybe you would have sat in Texas. But would you have taken all your meetings here in L.A., or would you have gone out knowing that you had been around? Like, you've been around the league. Like, Kawhi's been in every city in the league.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Would you go out to see these people at their facilities and get the tour, or would you sit – in a five-star hotel in L.A. and have them come into a suite?
No, I would go see the facilities and get the tour because you got to know what you're going to. I think, and that speaks volumes. Like, I don't know if y'all ever visit Oklahoma City practice arena, but it's one of the best I ever seen, like just top-notch. And when PG decided to stay there, it didn't surprise me. Because they have one of the best medical staff, best training staff for us organization wise. Their stuff is like, you know, top notch. So I would want to go see what I'm going to.
You know what they have in Oklahoma City's practice facility?
What's that?
I'm sure you know about this, Perk. They have like the greatest tornado shelter in central Oklahoma.
Right. They do have it.
So.
Could we go back a couple of minutes here? Because, Perk, you'd said a couple of days ago you thought you were convinced Kawhi was going to wear purple and gold.
Right.
Why did you think that?
While you think about that, Perk, Kevin, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. Just in case you forgot about that. The problem with growing businesses is it keeps them from knowing their numbers, and it's the hodgepodge of those business systems. One for sales, one for inventory, one for accounting. Big inefficient mess. That's why Oracle has NetSuite, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, you save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desktop or phone. You can do it on your phone, Kevin. Kevin's looking at his phone right now and checking his email. That's why
I'm checking my numbers and my business.
There you go. That's right. That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. And of course, if you're listening to this and you're riveted by everything that Perk's talking about, you can get a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/hoop. That's netsuite.com/hoop to download that free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits. netsuite.com/hoop. Perk, you did tweet the other day, purple and gold. And I think it was because the Lakers had just sort of had their meeting with him and there was a lot of positive vibes coming out. But you tell me why you felt that way.
I felt that way because I talked to some reliable sources and they said that they had the upper hand at the time. I can't say my reliable sources because then they won't be my reliable sources anymore. So I was told that they had the upper hand. And then I see different people coming out, which, you know, probably don't even Michael Rampart or whatever and Ricky Davis. Oh, it's done. But then the following night, I hear that the Clippers got a meeting with them by the ocean. So I'm like, oh, well, it's not done, but I still hear that the Lakers hold an upper hand. Now it's a whole twist of things because I'm convinced now that Toronto has the upper hand. Like, this guy took
exactly how they planned it.
Yeah, he jumped on the plane to go to Toronto.
Now
that speaks volumes.
I want to ask you about the plane ride.
B, that speaks volumes.
I agree. So the plane landed in Toronto about 1:30. We know it's about a 5-hour flight, 4.5, 5 hours. That means he left around 6 a.m. I know that NBA players operate in the night a lot of times. 6 a.m. flight out to on a private plane, leave whenever you want. You don't leave at 6 a.m.? Maybe he just wanted to be here as long as possible. Didn't want to spend the night in Toronto. Maybe that was that. But he could have scheduled it. He could have said the meeting was at 10 p.m. and flown out at
I am floored by this. I'd say 5:30 a.m. departure, right?
Something like that.
I mean, even with the jet stream.
We're talking about a 5-hour flight.
Right.
He got on the plane to go down to Toronto. This speaks volumes. Right.
Even if they departed from
pre-dawn.
And there's, I mean, there are probably a municipal airport in North County, San Diego. I'm sure there is.
I think it was from LAX. I think he flew. I think he was staying.
All right, then if he stayed at home last night.
I don't think he stayed at home.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If he's going to take an early flight to Toronto, a 5-hour flight, and he schedules it for that time, wouldn't that suggest he doesn't plan on staying in Toronto tonight? He's just going to come straight back?
He's going to come straight back no matter what, but when you have a private jet, you can go whenever you want.
He could have left at midnight.
Well, like if the Raptors, if he says to the Raptors, hey, I want to meet on Wednesday, oh, okay, what time? 8 p.m. Ooh, Kawhi, we're kind of tied up at 8. No, you get the any.
Right.
He could have told the Raptors, "I want to meet in Kathmandu at 11:30 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, whatever," and they would have been there, and they would have let his
Brian. This is how I would do free agency. I would do the Great Treasure Hunt free agency, where I would tell all the teams, clue number one is in their mailboxes, and they have to go and. And clue number two is on the snout of the largest land mammal, which you will find at this national park in Botswana. And they have to go and get it off the snout of the woolly mammoth or whatever it is. And then that is, they open that one up and it says this on the highest mountaintop and whoever gets to me.
You're
first
doing a
wins.
Shtick here, but you know what? To get these players are so valuable, just about anything that they would say. The teams would
do. Oh, Lawrence Frank would be on the snout of that woolly mammoth.
Right.
I mean, Masai would be
like talking realistically
in the shark cage.
Like talking realistically, let's say he went on a safari to Africa and wanted to meet in the central hut of the safari camp.
Yeah, we're going to Kruger National Park.
They would go there.
Absolutely,
Masai would love it. He'd go home to Africa. But my point is, like, there is no place or time where they wouldn't go. So I just think it's interesting. I don't know what it means, why he would leave at 5:30 in the morning. I think it's fascinating.
Perk said Raptors, Lakers, Clippers. Kevin said he's enamored with this Raptors one.
I'm Raptors one, and I can't decide between two or three. There's nothing, again, I go back to the Lake, what we think we know about Kawhi, and of course we don't know anything. I just can't see the Lakers scenario.
I had to write, so, you know, we have features ready for SportsCenter, that, you know, as soon as he makes a decision, they want to have like nice edited pieces together. So I had to write three different essay features to pull the curtain back with him going to all three of these destinations. I've already voiced them over and they are being edited as we speak.
By the way, how cool will it be? You should put up the two losers on some like other site. That'll be cool. Like collector's items.
Right.
Well, it'll be like the t-shirts. They'll send
those. We've done this. This was done for Durant too. So, but the interesting
thing.
We should
totally do a reel for all
the when I wrote them and when I recorded them, the Clippers and Raptors made more sense to me than the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree. But I just can't see Kawhi taking a 5.5 hour to 6 hour flight to Toronto to tell them that he's not coming back.
Just don't 10 hours, probably 11 hours round trip.
Round trip.
Even, and by the way,
you don't get a damn mile for it.
And this is not somebody who's never, he's like, oh, we get to go on a private jet. Kawhi can have a private jet anytime he wants.
That's crazy.
You been in a Gulfstream?
Have I been
in a Gulfstream?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't even. Go figure.
But that is,
When you got traded from Boston to Golden State to Oklahoma City, did they fly you on a private plane there?
No, I was on a regular flight.
Oh, that's a shame.
I was on a regular flight, but I was cool with it.
These days, I bet they would have flown private.
But guess what? I tell you what. When I landed at the airport, how the fans embraced me when I got off the plane, it was crazy.
So you think, some people thought, cause you know, Kawhi is kind of really private and low key. Some people thought that the fans being there welcoming him, like, you know, cheering for him as he got to the hotel was like a turn off. You don't think it was like that?
Absolutely not. I think it was showing him, hey, you know what we have, you know who we are, and just giving him a friendly reminder that I understand La La Land is La La Land, but hey, this is Toronto, and it's just a friendly reminder. Like, and as a player, you sitting up here thinking, like, man, I really consider leaving this. Like, Kawhi, you're gonna be the man. Like, over soccer players, everything. You are that guy. Not just in Toronto. We talking about Canada. Can you imagine if Perk ran the whole country?
We have to find you a country.
You're a big man in Texas, though.
I think, I think the Clippers and Lakers are nervous right now.
The Clippers are the ones. I mean, the Lakers are kind of on the edge here. I've talked about this because if they don't get them, they've really lost a chance to build some of their team up. But they're still going to be a really good team.
Oh, absolutely.
The Clippers don't get him. Are they a playoff team even?
I think they're
going to be a really good
contender.
Team.
But. I mean, I just from the Clippers standpoint, and maybe I'm too optimistic about this. Like, they'll be sorely disappointed, as you've mentioned numerous times, right? Like, they've been preparing for this forever. This is the longest free agent pursuit in quite a while, but I just feel like, I look at it like as a 40-year thing. Like, the franchise in the last 7 years has just come really far. They never would have.
Let me ask Perk about that. Yeah. What is the viewpoint of the Clippers in the NBA now?
Versus when you started.
They're a great organization. They're moving in the right direction. You can ask any player, former player, they love what the Clippers are doing right now. They love their organization. They love what Doc did last year with the team that he had. No one expected the Clippers to even make the playoffs. They traded away Blake Griffin. They traded away Chris Paul. DeAndre Jordan left. Everybody thought the Clippers was going to hit rock bottom. And all of a sudden, you have the emergence of Montrezl Harrell. Doc put full confidence in the rookie point guard. You know, Patrick Beverley was able to make his mark and put his stamp on there. By the way, if I think if Houston could reverse and flip the script and have Patrick Beverley back instead of CP, they would have probably beat Golden State, in my opinion. And people view people
Wow, that's a heck of a statement.
It's the truth, though. It's the truth. I mean, it's certain things you cannot do. Like, certain players you can't take for granted. Patrick Beverley, I thought that the Rockets took Trevor Ariza for granted. He was the only guy that was on the Rockets team that won a championship. It's, you can't trade your heart and soul. Patrick Beverley gave them swagger. Patrick Beverley gave them toughness, something that Houston lacks. Yes, CP, he's labeled as a tough guy, but nobody really respects CP as a tough guy. But people respect Patrick Beverley as a tough guy. And Patrick Beverley gonna let you know that he's a tough guy, and he's gonna stand by it. And I think if they would have stuck to their guns, kept the team the way they kept it, maybe added a PJ, could you imagine PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Patrick Beverley, James Harden with a Capella, with adding the Austin Rivers. Hey, that's a totally different team. As far as mindset-wise.
Okay.
Maybe you're the Clippers. I just don't think it's – is it disappointing? Absolutely. Is it tragic? No. They have incredible flexibility. They have assets going forward. They're an owner who's just getting kind of in the groove in terms of full investment and in resources. A new arena coming up. Like, I just think that it's not a disaster. They might regress. 48 could go back to 42, 43. It wouldn't surprise me. But I just think that in terms of future, there's not a bad contract on the books.
They've worked hard for that. So
yeah.
This is going to be one of the days we remember. We remember the decision day. We remember when LeBron's essay came out, I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly vividly remember everything about that day. We remember Kevin Durant. What was the headline on the Players Tribune? Talk about how it's very memorable. My next chapter. It was very weirdly written. Clearly not written by him, but he used the word cognitively in the first sentence of the first paragraph.
Yeah, the one, Katie.
Yeah. We remember last year LeBron flying in on that plane. We remember seeing that land in Van Nuys Airport. We're going to remember Kawhi landing in this plane and, you know, taking the Kawantourage.
It's 2:14 Pacific time right now.
Yeah.
Do we find out where Kawhi's going to go today before this podcast gets posted?
I sure as heck hope not. Otherwise, we would have wasted everyone's
time. Yeah, over under per hour that we will find out Kawhi's decision.
Nope. I think Kawhi make his decision tomorrow, the 4th of July. Fireworks. Fireworks. I think it's fireworks.
Yeah, I think Kawhi has the meeting. I assume flies back tonight.
If Braun and AD listening to this, I love y'all. Y'all know y'all my brothers. I love y'all to death. But my personal opinion, I want Kawhi to stay in Toronto. I think that's the best place for him. I don't see why he should leave. I think he should stay in Toronto. That's just my opinion. Doc, I love you like a father. You know I'm rooting for you. But Kawhi should stay in Toronto, in my opinion.
Having experienced their enjoyment, you were there, Perk. Right there. Having experienced that city's enjoyment, I totally get it. I think the best basketball decision is to go to the Clippers. I think the emotional decision is to stay home in Toronto. I think the best business decision maybe to go to the Lakers, but I don't think this is about business. So thank you, listening to the Hoop Collective. Thank you, Perk, so much. We always love when you're here. Thank you,
Thanks,
Devin. Thank you, Andrew. Have a good 4th of July, everybody. I guess we'll be talking to you. By the next time we talk to you, we're going to know where he's going.
The 4th of Kawhi.
Yeah.
Just Kawhi. Shut it down.
Shut it down.